Good morning, everybody. Welcome to High Point. My name is Jordan Merck, and I'm the Director of Student Ministries here at High Point. I wanted to welcome you guys. Normally, on Sunday mornings, I'm behind the camera, at least for the last few months. But today, I'm going to come to this side of camera and give today's message. Normally, today is what's called Student Ministry Sunday, where we have a whole student takeover, the band, the message, everything like that. Obviously, since we're not in person, we can't do that, and so we'll have to do that at a later date. But we will have a video for our 2020 seniors coming at some point over the next week or two. So make sure to be watching for that. Today we're going to continue our series in 2 Corinthians. So if you want to get a head start, go ahead and open up your Bible to the table of contents. Look for the New Testament, and then you'll see the book of 2 Corinthians. And we're going to flip to chapter 12 and 13 is where we're going to be focusing today. As you're flipping there, I want to tell you a story. You know, being the director of student ministries, every year in the winter and in the summer, I get to go to different camps with the students. And one of my highlights of the year, honestly, I love going to camps. I've been to like 25 plus camps, and it's one of the most favorite things that we do. So about two years ago now, we took our junior hires to a new camp called Black Diamond. So we get there the first night, and we have dinner, and all is well. And eventually, they take us out to this field, and they say, here's what we're going to do. We are going to have a boat building competition. And so they give us a cardboard box, they give us a plastic trash bag, some tape, and then I think there was a pool floaty in there as well. And they say, you're gonna have about 15 or so minutes to construct a boat out of this. They said, but there's a catch. The catch is that only students can participate. All the leaders, the youth pastors are not allowed to help at all. And so you can imagine that this went about as badly as you can imagine. 12 seventh graders trying to make a boat out of nothing with no guidance would go. It was a disaster. It was about 15 minutes of arguing and nothing getting done. And so by the time we get to the finish of this, we have pretty much just a cardboard box that's sitting there in the grass. And we took one of our smaller students because we said, oh, this will probably work better if we have a smaller student in it because it'll float better. And we put her in the boat and we all right, this is what we've got. And so from an appearance standpoint, as we're sitting on the grass with our boat, it looked like this could work, you know, this could be a good idea. And then we took it inside. And what I want to do is I actually have a video to show you what happened. I think you know what's coming, but I have a video to show you what happened. So go ahead and check this out. Obviously, as you saw, our boat did not work out at all. What you don't see in the video is that eventually it got so wet that our boat just fell apart. It crumbled, because that's what happens when cardboard gets wet, right? We failed miserably. It was not my finest HP students moment for our kids, but it was fun and they had a blast. But kind of on a more serious note, as I was reading through 2 Corinthians and just kind of processing this message this week, I started thinking about how in some ways that boat that we built, if you want to call it that boat that we built at junior high camp, it can sometimes represent our churches and it also can represent our faith on a more personal level. The boat in some ways can represent our churches because, like I said, when we were sitting on the grass outside and we had our boat, it didn't look like a traditional boat, but it looked like it would work, right? Like the appearance was fine. It had structure and Piper fit inside of it, and it was like, oh, this appears like it'd be okay. And a lot of times our churches kind of appear the same way, right? Where might have a nice building like what we're building right now. Maybe a church has a parking lot full of people, or the budget's good, or the music sounds great. There's all these things that give it the appearance that, hey, that church is doing well. But yet there's deeper rooted issues that church might not be aligned with the message of the gospel, or there's things going on behind the scenes that we don't see. And so it gives the appearance that it's okay, that everything's all right, but there's things going on behind the scenes and it's not healthy. The boat can also kind of represent our own personal faith, where we also can give a nice appearance, right? That our faith is okay, where maybe you go to church a couple times a month, or even are in a small group. Maybe you give or tithe, or maybe you volunteer at Freezing Nights every so often, whatever it is. We kind of give this appearance that, yeah, things are good. Maybe our faith seems like it's pretty good. But deep down, maybe we aren't actually aligned with the message of the gospel. maybe we are actually missing out on the point. And so before we dive into scripture this morning, I want to ask you a question, just something to kind of chew on and think about today as we move through 2 Corinthians. And that question is, how do you know that your faith is genuine? How do you know that your faith is genuine? Maybe you're like me and you've made that decision to follow Jesus. You prayed that prayer, you accepted him as your savior when you were in elementary school and you know you got the goosebumps and stuff. Or maybe you were at a high school camp, or maybe you were an adult the first time you accepted Christ as your savior, or even a senior citizen. But you had that moment where you accepted him as your savior. But how do you know that faith that you've taken from that point on is a genuine faith that Paul is going to talk about in what we read today? How do you know that your faith is truly aligned with the message of the gospel? You know, is your faith like a strong boat, like a battleship, or is your faith built like a cruise ship where even in a storm, it's going to stay afloat, or even if there's a leak somewhere, it's built so that it can stay afloat and you can fix that leak? Or is your faith built like the boat that we had at junior high camp, where it gave the appearance that it could work, but as soon as it was tested, it flipped over and it completely fell apart? Where is your faith at, and how do you know that your faith is a genuine faith? And as we dive into 2 Corinthians today, I think Paul's gonna make it really clear, first, what a genuine faith is. But then he's gonna lay out what we can do to strengthen our faith. If there are areas where there might be leaks, or if there's areas that aren't as strong, what can we do to strengthen our faith? And so what I want to do is I want to dive into 2 Corinthians, and we're going to go to chapter 12, and we're going to start at verse 12. I'm going to put the verses up here on the screen for you. It says, "When I was with you, I certainly gave you proof that I am an apostle, for I patiently did many signs and wonders and miracles among you. The only thing I failed to do, which I do in the other churches, was to become a financial burden to you. Please forgive me for this wrong. Now I am coming to you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you. I don't want what you have, I want you. After all, children don't provide for their parents. Rather, parents provide for their children. I will gladly spend myself and all I have for you, even though it seems that the more I love you, the less you love me. Some of you admit I was not a burden to you, but others still think that I was sneaky and took advantage of you by trickery. But how? Did any of the men I sent to you take advantage of you? When I urged Titus to visit you and sent our other brother with him, did Titus take advantage of you? No, for we have the same spirit and walk in each other's steps, doing things the same way." So as we read through this first part, it's kind of Paul setting things up for us. And I think one of the really important things that we want to pull from what I just read is that Paul makes it really, really clear that he cares for this church deeply, this church in Corinth. He cares deeply for them and he loves them. You know, he has cared for them in the past. He's talked about how he's gone there twice. So this is going to be his third time going to visit them. And he's talked about how he's been there before, and he's cared for them like a father would take care of a child. He loves them deeply. He's carrying out the duties of being an apostle. And as we move through reading 2 Corinthians and move through this message today, I think it's really important to remember that Paul cares and loves for these people deeply. But the thing that Paul mentions is that he's saying, the more that I seem to love you, it seems like you love me less. And he's not feeling that this feeling of love and care is being reciprocated by the church. And so he's concerned for the church, right? He's concerned for their actions, that they might not be listening to him, that their faith might not be genuine, that their church might not be aligned with God. Paul's concerned about that, and so he's coming to visit them again. And I want to continue reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll pick back up at verse 19. It says, "Perhaps you think we're saying these things just to defend ourselves. No, we tell you this as Christ's servants and with God as our witness. Everything that we do, dear friends, is to strengthen you. For I'm afraid that when I come, I won't like what I find. and you won't like my response. I'm afraid that I will find quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfishness, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorderly behavior. Yes, I'm afraid that when I come again, God will humble me in your presence, and I will be grieved because of many of you have not given up your old sins. You have not repented of your impurity, your sexual immorality, and your eagerness for lustful pleasure. So this is the third time that Paul is coming to visit them, and he makes it pretty clear that this time he is coming to hold them accountable. He's going to teach them, he's going to challenge them, but really he's going to hold them accountable because it's clear that they have sin that they've been unrepentant of, and they've continued to live in that sin. And if you go back to my story of the boat in junior high camp, you know, Paul is concerned that the church, that their faith is kind of like that boat, right? Where on the outside appearance, it might be okay. But as soon as they're tested, it could easily sink or it could easily fall apart. And the thing is that they are the church, but they aren't living it out. They aren't living out genuine faith. And you have to remember that Paul loves and he cares for these people deeply. And so out of that love and out of that care, he is coming to hold them accountable. Not to tear them down, but to strengthen their faith. He's doing it to test them, to see how aligned they are with God, with the message of the gospel, and to hopefully strengthen them where they are weak. And I think that the concept and the idea of accountability is something that we as the church can miss sometimes. That it's so important, but we miss that, or oftentimes it might be misinterpreted. But I want to go back to the book of 1 Corinthians. And we're going to go to chapter 5, verse 12, where Paul says this. He says, "It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning." You see, I think sometimes accountability at church can be lacking. And I think the reason for it is accountability is hard, and it can be uncomfortable. It can be tough. It's never fun to have conversations about sin, right? Like if you're dealing with a sin and somebody comes to you, it's never a comfortable conversation. It's not something that we just desire, like, yeah, this is going to be fun. Accountability can be really uncomfortable. It can be really tough. And so if you're like me, there have been a lot of times where you've tried to avoid accountability. And so we miss out on that accountability that Paul is talking about. I think accountability can also be misinterpreted as being like judgy, right? Or being judgmental. Where people, and I will say that there are definitely times where we kind of miss out, right? Where we miss the mark and we are judgmental in a hurtful way to tear somebody down. But unfortunately, the right kind of accountability sometimes is misinterpreted as being judgmental or to tear somebody down or to hurt somebody. And so a lot of times we as the church, we miss out on accountability, but Paul's example there in 1 Corinthians 5 makes it really clear. He's saying, if you have made the decision to follow Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you accepted him as your Savior, if you're a part of this church, then you are first to be held accountable, to have people hold you accountable, but you're also to hold others in the church accountable so that when there's sin, we're not trying to tear each other down, or we're not even just trying to push it aside or act like we don't see it, that we're holding each other accountable so that we can strengthen each other and have a genuine faith. And I want to continue here by going to 2 Corinthians. We're going to flip to chapter 13 this time to kind of finish up our time here in 2 Corinthians. We're going to go to chapter 13, verse 3. Paul says, "I will give you all the proof you want that Christ speaks through me. Christ is not weak when he deals with you. He is powerful among you. Although he was crucified in weakness, he now lives by the power of God. We too are weak, just as Christ was. But when we deal with you, we will be alive with him and will have God's power. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus is among you, and if not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. As you test yourselves, I hope you will recognize that we have not failed the test of apostolic authority. We pray to God that you will not do what is wrong by refusing our correction. I hope that we won't need to demonstrate our authority when we arrive. Do the right thing before we come, even if it makes it look like we have failed to demonstrate our authority. For we cannot oppose the truth, but must always stand for the truth. We are glad to seem weak if it helps show that you are actually strong. And we pray that you will become mature. I'm writing this to you before I come, hoping that I won't need to deal severely with you when I do come. For I want to use the authority the Lord has given me to strengthen you, not to tear you down. So to kind of summarize what we have read today, Paul is come to visit the church for the third time. And he's come before and he's cared for them. He's taken care of them. He's also held them accountable. He's pretty clear that he has talked to them about their sin in the past. And so he's coming for the third time because he still sees that there are people in the church that are dealing with these sins that they're just living in. They're unrepentant of it. And so he's coming to hold them accountable for those and hopefully to teach them and to strengthen them. And I love what it says in the last verse that I read there. It says that Paul says he is not coming to tear them down. He's coming to strengthen them. Remember, he loves them and he cares for them. So he wants to help them to move forward, to strengthen their faith. And in chapter 13 here, he calls for them to test and to examine their faith to see if it is genuine, to see where they need work, to see where they need to strengthen, to see if their boat will sink or if their boat will stay afloat. And he's doing this because they call themselves the church. They're saying, we are followers of Christ. We are the church. But he continues to see them living in sin. And so he's coming to hold them accountable. I think ultimately, Paul knew that how powerful the church is. He knows how powerful God is and how he can work through the church. And Paul knew that this church was only going to be as strong as the people in the church. And so he knew that he needed to come and hold them accountable so that they would be strengthened, so that they could do powerful work and share that with all the people that they were around. So on a church level and on a personal level, in our own lives today, we need to be testing and examining our faith. Like I said earlier, as a church, capital C, big C church, not just High Point, but as a church as a whole, we can have a nice building. We can have a lot of people attend. We can have cool equipment. We can have cool kids ministry and youth groups. We can have a sweet band that sounds good. But are we aligned with the message of the gospel? Is our faith genuine? On a personal level, we can go to church. We can be a nice person. We can volunteer. We can tithe. But is our faith truly genuine? You see, I think the true test is not only have we accepted Christ as our Savior, but have we allowed him to change us? Have we allowed him to work, to change our hearts and our minds? And are we living the message of the gospel out every single day in our life? That's the true test. And so here in 2020, what can you do to understand what genuine faith is? What can you do to understand what genuine faith is? And how can you strengthen your own faith? And there's a lot that we can do. We could talk all day. We could talk for weeks probably about what we can do to strengthen our faith. But I just want to pick out a couple of things as I'm wrapping up here. The first thing is understand what genuine faith is. That's the first step. The faith that Paul is talking about. The question that I asked you at the beginning. Genuine faith has kind of been the theme of today. First, understand what that is. I think unfortunately in our church and in our world today, genuine faith is kind of mixed up with just being a good person and doing a good thing, right? Like we kind of get into this mode where we're like, oh yeah, I'm a nice person. You know, I don't cuss unless I stub my toe and, you know, I volunteer and I'm just overall, I do these good things. And so we're kind of like, oh yeah, we check off these boxes of being a good person. And we think that that's what genuine faith is. But what we have to understand is what genuine faith is. It's in the message of the gospel, right? It's accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's seeking forgiveness for our sins, repenting of our sins, and seeking forgiveness of our sins. Accepting Christ as our Savior. Understanding that that's not something that we can earn. That Jesus died on the cross. He rose again 3 days later. And he's giving us the most incredible gift, right? We don't have to check these boxes off to earn salvation. He says, you can have this right now. You can accept me. You can repent of your sins right now. It's a gift that he's given us. See, genuine faith, it's not just doing good things. It's accepting Christ as your Savior. And from that, good will come. From that, we will share with the people that we interact with every single day. We'll share that gift that we have received. That's what genuine faith is. It's not works. It's faith in God and allowing Him to change us and then living that out. So that's what genuine faith is. Another thing that we can do to strengthen that genuine faith is to test and examine it all the time, every single day. Go back to junior high camp 2 years ago. Go back to my boat story. See, I'm not an engineer. I understood what was coming. But on the grass, outside of the pool, before we put it in the water, looking at that box, that was our boat. And it looked like this might be something that could work, right? Piper fit inside of it. It had structure. This might work. And for a lot of us, we give that appearance. Our faith might appear like it's okay, but we have to test it. We have to examine it constantly to strengthen it. Think about a time recently where you've been tested. I can think about a time where all of us have been tested recently, probably about the last 3 months, right? Where with this virus, our lives have been completely flipped upside down in some ways. And we've all struggled, I think, in different ways. But think about a time recently, within the last year or a couple years, where you've really been tested. Maybe it was the loss of a job. Maybe it was getting bullied at school. Maybe it was a death in the family or somebody getting really sick. What's a time where you've been tested recently? And take it a step further and kind of examine it. Think about when that time happened where you were tested, where you faced a trial, what was your response? Did you try to fix things on your own? Did you kind of try to patch the holes on your own? Or was your first thought, I gotta go to God. I gotta lean into God. I have to run to God because I can't get through this without Him. I think that's a really good indicator of where our faith is at, is examining those trials and those tests that we have faith. We can also examine other things, like we can examine our desires. Do you prefer the things of this world, of this, the temporary things of this world, and filling yourself up with those temporary things? Or do you desire the things of God? Do you desire to care for and to serve others? Do you desire to understand and to read and to study God's word and then to apply that in your life? What are your desires? Examine those things. And I think it can be really telling for all of us about where our faith is at. And when we test and when we examine, very quickly it becomes apparent where our flaws are, where our holes that are that we might need to patch up, where the strengthening needs to happen in our faith so that we can have genuine faith. The last thing is utilizing accountability. Like I said earlier, I think a lot of people are over accountability. They kind of don't like that word, and it's because, like I said, it can be really uncomfortable. I get really uncomfortable with accountability sometimes because it's never fun having somebody talk to you about hard conversations or talk to you about sin. It's never a fun thing. But Paul models accountability for us here in 2 Corinthians. You know, I think here at High Point, as I was talking with Kevin a little bit, Pastor Kevin, about this message, he was talking to me about accountability that we have here at High Point. And I think there's some really good things in place. I know that for us directors, we are accountable to Kevin. And that Kevin is accountable to the elder team. And the elder team is accountable to you, the church. And I know that on staff, many of us have our own accountability. Usually it's somebody outside of the church that we can just talk to and have them challenge us, have them ask us tough questions, have them have hard conversations with us. A lot of us have that put in place, and it really helps us. And the thing is that when we hold things inside, when we hold sin inside, the things that we're dealing with, our hurts, our pain, our sin, often when we hold that inside, maybe it might get better sometimes, but a lot of times we just kind of get stuck in this endless cycle of struggling with it and dealing with it. And that's why it's so important for us to have accountability. If we truly want to grow, to strengthen our faith, and to draw closer to God, it's so important for us to have that accountability, to have people that we can talk to and those that can talk to us. And it's something that Paul talked about and says, this is so important for the church to talk to each other about sin, to hold each other accountable for our sin. It's so important for us to do. You see, Paul knew it. I believe he knew it, that the church is only as strong as the people in it. Our church, High Point, you know, capital C Church as a whole, we're only as strong as the people in it. And so us, every single day, we have to test our faith. We have to examine our faith. We have to make decisions every day to allow ourselves to be transformed by God so that we can build a genuine faith. And then from there, we can live out the message of the gospel. We can live out the Great Commission, which is sharing that faith that we have, that gift that we've received from God and His Son, Jesus Christ, with everybody that we know. So let me pray. God, we thank you for just the gift that you've given us. We thank you for Jesus' death and his resurrection, and that we don't have to earn that, that you love us no matter what. We don't have to earn your love. You love us no matter what, that we don't have to earn salvation. It's a gift that you've given us, that we can accept that. And I just pray for us today as the church that we wouldn't be okay with being complacent, that we wouldn't be okay with just kind of being stuck with where we're at, but that we would take steps to build our faith, to build genuine faith. I pray that we would be willing to have uncomfortable conversations, God, not to tear others down, not to tear ourselves down, but to build each other up and to draw closer to you. And I pray this prayer in your name. Amen. What I want to do now is I just want to give you a couple of minutes to reflect on the message today.